This week on Potlatch, Cecilia Kuntz of Juno, Steve Matthews of Fairbanks, and music from Buffy St. Marie. Potlatch, a program about Alaska Natives for Alaska Natives. For our first report, Walter Johns of station KTOO in Juneau listens as Cecilia Kuntz has some advice for whites who write books about Indians.
I'd like to tell you white people, every book you read about an Indian, don't believe it, because there's a lot of things on it that isn't so. Like the one I was reading, you know, that man wrote about the two different tribes, the Eagle tribe and the Raven tribe. And this is what he said. The Eagle tribe, all of them is known as Shinkukedi. Yes, that's true. They're known as Shinkukedi and also Huknukedi. That's the proper one, Huknukedi. And then he said, there's no name for the ravens. How dare he say that? I know raven, that's why. The the ravens are known by a special name too. So I kind of felt that he shouldn't say that. That's the name of the ravens. And then we start using a different clan name. You know, the ravens got their own name, like Tuktaintan, Tuknachati, Kiksati, all those different names. The same way with the Eagle tribe, they all start to have different names, like Kagwantan, Kukitan, Wishkitan, Taklawedi, and so on. I always say, if you're writing a book, don't take the word of one Indian. Always have two or three there. Like this book that was written by Swanson. It seems to me that the Tuktaintan woman, she's the one that's telling the story. And everything she said on that book was something that had to do with her tribe. Now, I'm a Tuknaksha. You can call it the Coho tribe. And we claim all that western coast north from this place to Latuya Bay. And that mountain there, Tlaskan, Mount Fairweather, the Tlupnachadi claim it from the start. And on that book she said the Tuktaintan claimed that mountain and nobody else. That's what she said on the book. But she forgot that Tuktaintan and Kutka'aye, they're a subdivision from the Tuknachadi. Tuknachadi is the main tribe. And the Tuktaintan is subdivision from the Tuknachadi and also the Kutka'aye and also the Khasdeti. See, they're all come under the name of Tuknachadi. And then she started telling things like that. That's why I said, don't believe every book you read. I just wish that somebody, a lot of times I wish I could, you know, write a book myself. I'm encouraged from a lot of places to do that too.
You should. It would be pretty interesting.
Now Walter Johns discusses with Cecilia Coons the possibility of using native names for Alaska places.
Fairweather seems like it's a mountain that's pretty well known and pretty
yes.
It's important, an important mountain.
Yes. My people traveled from Copper River, Ikini, that's the name of it, from up there all the way down to Metlakatla, selling copper. Copper was important in those days, Tina. And they used to travel, you know, they look at that mountain. If it's covered with cloud, well, you don't travel. If the cloud is halfway down, they know when to travel. And I know all the songs that they used to sing, my tribe, the songs they used to sing when they're traveling. And I know the names of some of their boat, Tuknachadi, Iako, the names of their boat and the songs they used to sing. I know them and I got it on the tape, so my children, I'm trying to pass everything I know on to my children and other families, you know, that belong to my tribe.
Hearing different stories, you know, and I can't remember them. I guess you have to hear them quite a few times in order to really remember them good,
yes,
you know.
Talk about it, too.
Mm-hmm. And, but I've heard a few of them, and they always seem to bring up that mountain. And it also seems like there's usually more than maybe one or two mountains that are important to each village.
Yes.
Either in regards to the flood or for different reasons, there always seems to be a mountain for each village
yes.
that is important.
Yes, up that way is that Mount Fairweather and Mount St. Elias. It's two mountains.
Oh, so, and that's why those ones are so important. And I know, like in Kaken and Angoon, they have mountains too that they, you know, that they claim that they went up when the flood came here. And I remember when I was a younger, I was fishing, and there were some older guys who were showing me the mountain that Angoon people climbed up, you know, during the flood. And they were telling me that there was, if you went up there now, there'd be some rope. But if you touched the rope, it would turn to ashes and, you know, disappear. But we were fishing on a boat, and we were kind of making fun of the older guy, because he told us that if you point at the mountain, it would rain.
Yes.
You know, we were young bucks, you know, just from city. I was living in San Francisco then, and thought I knew everything. And so I was kind of making fun of him, and I was with another friend of mine. He's about the same age as I am, and we're pointing, laughing, and saying, was that the mountain there? And we both laughed and said, no, that one. And we pointed at it about 3 or 4 times. And then we start running across the bay, across the channel. This is Chatham Straits. Before we got halfway across, we had the biggest storm we had that year, you know? And from that, you know, that was one of the things that kind of opened my eyes up, and I stopped making fun of it and start realizing that there was something there, something that was important, and something that had a lot to do with our own personal freedom, you know, our history.
Yes, yes, the mountains are important to the Indian people. Like here in Juneau, this Mount Juneau, they call, the Indian name for it is Katlah. See, if you translate that into English, it will mean moldy mountain. If you look at it in the summertime, you know, it's kind of grayish color.
Yeah, it kind of looks that
yes.
way.
And the Og chief, he was married into the Og people, married to my great-great-grandmother. Na'atk was her name. And this Og chief, his name is Yanakis. And his homestead is where the old courthouse used to be. That's where his house was. And he used to send his slaves up there to this Mount Juneau. Watch there, and we had traps up there. You see one goat, two goats, three goats. If you see 4 goats there, he'd send up 4 slaves to bring the goats down. I don't know how it got into the hands of a white man. Maybe he gave it or something. I didn't hear too much about it, but I know that's where he used to stay, because the woman he's married into was my great-great-grandmother. Na'atk was her name.
Probably some law was the way he got around. They got the land. It's the way they used it. Maybe they taxed him or something to get it from him. I know every inlet and every mountain and everything, just about every point, probably every important point in Southeast, probably had a Tlingit name for it.
Yes.
Too. I wish we can get a map sometime and put all the names on.
Yes.
You know, see how many people can remember and put all the names on. It would really be interesting and historical too.
Around Juneau, my husband just about know the inlets and the bays and the islands. He just about know all of them from his father, William Coons.
Was that right?
And we talked to the Forest Service. We told him, why don't you give it an Indian name? Give it an Indian name. Some of them are easy to say. See, like Douglas. The name of Douglas is Sayaik. See how simple it is to say? Sayaik. And one time I was talking to one of the Christian group over there, and they were trying to get an Indian name for something, a trail or something, and I told them about this. Oh, what's wrong with Sayaik Trail? Sayaik. See, that's the name of Douglas, the Indian name of Douglas. Of course,
Douglas
not
Island,
many, yeah, not many people use that. They always say Douglas.
Definitely our language and the names and of the mountains and streams and points and things, you know, are important. And I wish there was some way we could get them, you know, get them back and have them recorded somehow. Because I think it has a lot to, would have a lot to do with our own personal freedom, as
yes.
far as being proud of what we are And maybe it'll bring some unity, too, you know, to
yes.
our people. I don't know. It's just,
yes.
I think it's important to...
I'm writing this to say goodbye to what you never should reply, that of all the lords and demons that you leave, I stand entirely alone. That is to say, you're loving me would be your only crime, and isn't it a pity? You can see your duty clearly in the midst of some great city, in the midst of all this love. Many men have loved the bells you fasten to the rain, and everyone who wandered you found what she would always want again. And I'd have been the dust you, and I'd have been the grass for you, but you tell me with your beauty you can see your duty clearly in the midst of New York City. In the prison of my need, oh, I will share your loneliness, and I demand your greed, and everything depends upon how near sleep to me, and isn't it a pity? You can see your duty clearly in the midst of New York City, in the midst of all our love. When you are so very young again, that the forests that you burned away and then sailed away are truly, truly gone. I will starfishes your hand and the jewels for your shoulders fall through the walls of sand, fall through the walls of sand.
Buffy St. Marie. We'll hear another song from her later. I recently interviewed Steve Matthews of the Fairbanks Native Association.
My main involvement would be counseling That's what I am down center. But I am affiliated with the State Health Board, which I am not speaking for now, and the Tanana Region Health Board, Tanana Chiefs Health Authority, under direction of Mr. Claude Dimitith. So I'm speaking more or less as a counselor for the Native Center, not directly regarding our employment department. No, I am not their spokesman at all.
Next, I asked Matthews about the role of the Fairbanks Native Association in Pipeline Hire. He told me that the FNA
has a contract with the Alaska Federation of Natives Incorporated, who's stationed in Anchorage, to hire so many natives per camp, so to speak, the percentage of, and it's going up next month, you know. We have met the this year's quota percentage-wise of 15%, I believe it is 15%. I think at this time, this stage of the game, so to speak, regarding the Native Land Claim Settlement Act, I think it's really beneficial to the Native people. Now, this is my personal opinion. Now, I'm not speaking for no one at all, not even the Fairbanks Native Center. All this, the Land Claim Settlement Act is pumping a lot of money into the villages, you know, for the Native cooperation in each village. And I think with this pipeline money is helping to bring the Native lifestyle up, you know, what we're all trying to do now, you know, and what we are very concerned with in the health department of our people is education in all fields, not only through school, but through health education, and we are really active now as far as the Tanana Chiefs and Doyon and all our region corporations and everything like this. We're all looking for younger people to take over eventually, you know. So we are setting up all kinds of beneficial programs for these young people so that they could and know that these grants and different ways that they could get money for their education through the Land Claims College. And then there's another one now. It's still on paper, but we are working on it. It's going to be a revolving loan, you know, so like, and then we are developing another one, a career ladder that it can show you where a student can be for, you know, at different steps in the career. See, before, the Native people didn't have this opportunity, not right there, and so they tend to, after high school, they tend to just quit, you know. Now there's no excuse now, and we will have this. I can foresee in another 10 years, we will have a lot of things coming off of this pipeline. And I think it's really beneficial to our people. It showed a lot of avenues to our people, I think, like the Land Claim Settlement Act. That really opened up everything. Now the Native people are looking forward to trying to have more input to the kind of services, even in the health and delivery of medicine and stuff like this. We are having more input these days to say what we want and at what level. And I really do believe that we'll get it.
Matthews believes that many people don't want highways built to their native villages.
because for one reason the changeover of a highway being brought into a village, the lifestyle is absolutely gonna change 150%. It's gonna just absolutely change and it's gonna bring in people, hunters and outsiders and campers. I think that the native people out in the where these highways are gonna go are really aware now that when they exercise their voting powers, they can put in people in office that could not really control it, but implement some laws that can curtail it a little, you know, like going out and wiping out all the moose or all the waterfowl or ducks like that. But eventually the pressure will be so great from the general public that these highways would have to go through and open up to the public. And I think during these years that we could put it off, I think that'll give the native people time to react. I don't see how we could stop it, but I hate to see it come.
Dreams up higher than you could fly. I remember you, hey, little bird, perched in the southern sun. Those were the days when your feathers were new. And I remember you, little bird. Now you know where you're at. Now the clouds are your habitat. But more than that, we meet again, and you're still my friend. So, little bird, the times have changed considerably. I am a thrush now, and you are a peacock indeed. So flash your colors, and I will sing. Glide into time with the moon on your wing. And sink in the waves and then rise resplendent. Fly with your friends in a V formation and sing to the flocks from your vantage station. Out in the stars beyond a hell's dominion, and rest at my feet in between migrations. Little bird, I remember you.
Potlatch, produced in the studios of KUAC in College in cooperation with KTOO Juneau, KOTZ Kotzebue, and KYUK Bethel, under Title I of the Higher Education Act.